homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Skillful means to rescue ourselves and others. As one develops one's training and practice, particularly at the very beginning, one has to develop skillful means and ways of keeping the practice alive and fresh, if I can put it that way. There are the standard ways we have, particularly in the monastery, of the morning scriptures, morning meditation, etc., the setting up of altars. But I wanted particularly to talk about how this is done in lay training. Our Master Ji used to say the truth, the whole truth, and anything else that works. So as one's training matures, one finds ways that help the training. What one finds to do are not necessarily the same as for other people, because everybody's a bit different. But the Buddha's teaching and practice include an enormous, infinite number of skillful means. Once one gets over one's fear, as some people have, of formalism, and as I said the other night, fear of the whole business, the experience of training from the outside, trying to get in. Once one has more experience of training from within, then various means arise and become useful. For example, many people wear a wrist rosary on their left wrist of their hand to remind themselves. Many of these things are reminders. Some people, when they do their morning meditation, also do a short morning service, depending upon their job situation. Some people set up an altar or a shelf with a Buddha picture or Buddha image. I've known people to have a sitting place down in their furnace room. In all sorts of places, I've known people to have little unfolding altars, even if it's simply a piece of cardboard that they've constructed that unfolds whenever they go to sit. People who undertake training seriously develop these various ways that help them and that assist them in keeping their training lively, as Dogen says. Some types of people, are concerned about such things because they think it is somehow cheating if one doesn't simply encounter everything with pure, undifferentiated meditation. But sometimes such people are dwelling in an idea or a fantasy of what meditation is or means. There are, as I said, innumerable skillful means. And this is one of the meanings of Dogen's expression. The secret of life is will, and words are the key. Anything that encourages us to continue training is good and worthwhile. The various means, which come under what Dogen called words, are all useful And as Dogen reminds us again and again, words that only go halfway are existence, time, flow. Words that go only halfway are existence, time, flow. It means that the methods that I'm referring to, the skillful means, do not need to be perfect or logical or really thought out or defensible. They just need to be effective. Some people make use of putting the hands together in gassho in all sorts of circumstances. I remember somebody coming to Shasta and writing an article about it and talked how we were always bowing to our tools. And I'm not quite sure whether, or bowing when we're entering the room, etc. And I'm not sure whether the person's statement that we were bowing to something was actually particularly useful or relevant. Because I don't think it occurred to many people that when we entered a room, we were bowing to something in particular. But rather, the bowing. As I've said many times before, training is about transforming ourselves. It is not trying to make conditions conform with what we want. It is rather finding ways to train ourselves in the conditions that we find ourselves in. And as a result, we can see what conditions we are able to change and to adjust. Sometimes people get the daft notion that one is supposed to accept or put up with a circumstance because it's good training to do so, when in fact, it can be often better to leave that circumstance. Okay, that is the meaning of the saying where Buddha is not, do not linger. Where Buddha is, walk quickly by. Or the saying, where others go, I do not go. Where others stay, I do not stay. This does not mean I wish to separate myself from others, but rather I wish to clarify black and white. Sometimes people get a daft notion of non-duality in their minds. And along with other types of daft notions, they are usually a type of intellectual attempting to understand as a substitute for applying oneself to the practice itself. Dogen makes this point when he says that we make use of the ground. When we fall, we make use of the ground to stand up. That is, when somebody falls to the ground, they press upon the ground to get themselves standing again. Whereas, if they try to stand above the ground in a world of unreality, then they cannot actually do this. They cannot actually make progress. In training, as one goes on, particularly in the beginning, not only the willingness to say, I could be wrong, is necessary, but also the uncertainty is necessary. That is, the not knowing precisely what one is doing regarding training is a necessity. Because training and practice are finding out. The continual practice of finding out that which is good to do. And then the plowing back in of one's practice and what one sees and comes to know. bearing in mind that this changes, and the perspective one had on one day may not be the perspective of a year from now. Too many people try to obtain certainty in a way that is not helpful. Everything is unstable. As Lama Sawong used to say, don't people know that nothing works? Everything is unstable. There is nothing certain in the opinions and views. What the Buddha called the thicket, the jungle of views and opinions. There is nothing certain in that. As anybody who's tried to do anything regarding health and diet can see, if they're honest, the various books do not agree with one another. Where can we have stability and certainty? We can come to know for ourselves that the unborn exists. We can come to know for ourselves how karmic consequence works. We can come to know for ourselves what works regarding our training. And what does not? And this place can be hedged around by uncertainty. There's a phrase that is used in some of the traditions of Zen, I believe in Korea, only don't know. It is remarkable as people go on in training how sometimes they can start to tell themselves stories about the way their life is and the way it would be under other circumstances. To tell oneself stories in this way is a type of living in a fantasy. Always practice should be from meditation first, meditation and precepts first, and outwards from there. And then returning back to that as the means of guiding oneself. Philosophical views are not reliable or stable. Although philosophy, in its old meaning of the search for wisdom, such as the way the ancient Greeks meant it, can be quite useful. There is that old saying of somebody asking a teacher to help them, and the teacher made the reply that you can only shit for yourself. The teacher cannot do it for you. This being, aside from the ordinary meaning, is also the metaphor for digesting the food of the teaching. Tasting it, eating it, masticating it, swallowing it, digesting it, and excreting the results. This is why so much emphasis is put upon the outhouse in Zen monasteries. Because it's where one has to perform a function so primary that it is very difficult to delude oneself about it. Dogen even says, in a rather startling way, when he's discussing the outhouse buildings, he says that these outhouses and regulations exist within the Pure Land. And, of course, there's the famous example of one of our Buddhist ancestors a few generations back who was awakened by the slamming of the outhouse door due to the wind when they were sitting in it. In order to train effectively, one must embrace ordinary life. Too often, Buddhist meditation or meditation is presented as if it were a way of becoming ideal. Instead of a way of becoming more compassionate and of removing the barriers to our engagement with daily life and with ourselves. Which, of course, is why Dogen says to undertake the way of the training in Buddhism is to examine and study the self. Now, all sorts of philosophies, etc., do that. But Buddhism, in the next step, is one studies the self in order to forget the self. And when one forgets the self, one can be awakened by everything. When this happens, then all things cannot help but teach us. Then everything we encounter teaches us. Everything we encounter holds up a mirror to us so we can see ourselves. Matter of fact, when teachers are examining their students in Buddhism, this is one of the stages they look for. Is the person, in fact, being taught by all things, learning from all their encounters? Which can really only occur if they've forgotten the self to some degree. And that, of course, can only occur if they've studied the self to some degree. To get the self out of the way is to learn from everything. And I don't mean this as really a deliberate attempt to learn from everything. It's more that the more one gets the self out of the way, the more the things in daily life show us something about ourselves. And this is one of the meanings to the poem, Enlightenment poem, of Sotoba, which goes, "The sound of the valley stream is the broad tongue of the Buddha. The color of the mountains are the pure body." This is not a philosophical position or a mythological one. If we genuinely and sincerely interact with training and train ourselves, then we will achieve results. These results are not necessarily what we had in mind, but then again, the self and its viewpoints are unstable. But, and we will see results in ourselves and in how all things teach us. But it is necessary to apply ourselves. Although this is in no way a race. When Dogen says, and he's quoting a scripture, that we have to train as if our hair were on fire, he doesn't mean running around in a panic. Okay, as if our hair were on fire. He means the urgency of doing so, the immediacy of engaging with it. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.